Blog Talk Radio.
Even as they continue to do those things that
they believe God has spoken to their hearts. And so this evening we bless God for them and for all of you that are partners, all of you that are supporters of this ministry. We bless God for, again, the privilege to be with you. This evening, as we look to enjoy being with you, sharing the Word of God, we'd like to just open up with a word of prayer. Father, we are so grateful this evening that you have been so kind to all of us, even as you have provided such an unbelievably wonderful opportunity to share your word. We are so grateful tonight that, Father, for the privilege of being with those under the sound of my voice. We pray your blessing upon the founders of this expression of you, Jesus, this ministry, Kingdom Builders International. We pray your blessing upon these founders. We pray your blessing upon, Lord God, the marriage, the family, and all of the supporters, the partners. We pray your blessing upon those that are with us this evening and those that are part of this gathering, Lord, on Blog Talk. Lord, we ask, God, that the powers of heaven would be activated during this broadcast, and that you, Jesus, would cause revelation and insight and wisdom to be activated, released, and manifested. Lord, we are trusting you, Father, even for the revelation, Lord God, that you could bear witness by and through manifestations that reveal the kingdom of God. We're asking, oh God, that you would cause the angels of God to be released. We pray, God, that you would, Lord, manifest the powers of heaven and that you would dismantle the powers of darkness. Lord, we come against every attack regarding those under the sound of my voice. And as a magistrate of heaven, we dismantle, destroy, I annihilate every judgment of hell. Every curse I break and dismantle, and I loose, God, the powers of heaven. I loose the powers of the Holy Spirit. I loose the resurrection power that raised you, Jesus, from the dead. We call forth the glory of God to be manifested even through this broadcast tonight. Lord Jesus, by your Spirit, raise and reveal your counsel and wisdom and cause the glory of God to be manifested. Father, we thank you right now, and we, Lord, set this broadcast apart in the blood of the Lamb, Christ Jesus. We apply the blood of Jesus now, even to this broadcast and this, Lord God, release tonight. We trust you and praise you for this now. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Bless God. Hallelujah. Well, praise the name of Jesus. Again, we are so grateful to God for you tonight. And we'd like for you to turn in your Bibles, even to what for some is a very familiar passage of Scripture. And for others, maybe it's not. But there's a Scripture, praise God, one of my favorites over the years. It's found in Isaiah, the prophetic book of Isaiah, the 55th chapter. Isaiah, the 55th chapter. You know, last time we were with you, we're talking about the truth and how we're believing God for, you know, breakthrough, again, deliverance, miracles, supernatural manifestations. And we encourage you to really embrace the truth. You know, the Bible tells us in the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus, and I'm summarizing the words there, Jesus said that you will know the truth if you continue in his words. If you continue in his word, he said, then you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you or set you free. The truth will make you or set you free. It appears that much of the war, whether you like it or not, my brother, my sister, it of course surrounds the Word of God. It surrounds, in the fourth chapter of Mark, there Jesus talks about the sower sows the Word. And when you look at that parable that Jesus talked about, he talked about how the emphasis of the warfare is on the seed. It's on the Word of God and how the Word of God is received. And for many of you, you receive many prophetic words. You've received all kinds of direction, consultation. You've received the Word of God in various forms because God himself has made sure he's given you his Word. And the warfare is always centered around the Word. What are you doing with the Word? You know, in our fellowship and ministry, we make note and we make a declaration, a pronouncement of faith. We decree and pray even some words that are found even in the Bible. Praise God in Acts 20, verse 32, and Acts 19, verse 20. And we, at the beginning of the ministry, as we prepare to minister the Word of God, we make this declaration and we declare in preparation of receiving the Word, these words from the Scriptures. In Acts 20, verse 32, it says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the Word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified." Now, there's a lot there. And we'll come back to in a minute. And then we make another declaration and a decree from the Word of God in Acts 19, verse 20. It simply says, "So mightily grew the Word of God and prevailed." So mightily grew the Word of God and prevailed. Now, these scriptures we've been quoting for many years, and I believe these scriptures. I believe that the Word of God, of course, is the key. And how we respond and how we engage ourselves with the Word of God is going to be significant as whether we're going to prevail in this warfare, in this campaign. Now, I want you to, again, turn over to Isaiah 55, and let's look at a very wonderful, it's one of my favorite scriptures, actually. Verse 11, it says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It," speaking of the word, "shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Now, there's a lot there. And again, we're going to explore a couple things here and there with this. But I also want us to look at the context of this particular scripture here in the 55th chapter of the book of Isaiah. Look at verse 8. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." So now, mind you, that is something there we need to think about that. You know, the situation, the circumstance, the problems, the difficulties, the prognosis, the diagnosis, the words of consolation or the words of rebuke, the things that they've said, the thoughts that you're thinking that now become an anthem and words that are challenging to you. How are they compared to God's thoughts? How are they compared to God's ways? Here, the Word of God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." Let's keep reading. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So obviously there's a need for us to think higher greater. We need to allow our imaginations to run and to have some exceedingly abundantly above type moments. Look at the next verse. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but water the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Now, this is some powerful responses to the word of God going forth. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Now, there are some awesome manifestations when the word of God is released and the word of God has gone forth. And I want you to understand where the warfare really is. The warfare in your life is regarding the word of God. That's where the war, you know, the enemy, you may say, no, it's the cancer that I'm dealing with. I'm talking to believers now. I'm not talking to folks that don't know God. I'm talking to believers. I'm talking to sons and daughters of God. I'm talking to apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. I'm talking to intercessors. I'm talking to the kings and the priests of the Most High God. I'm talking to the servants of the Lord. I'm talking to Sunday school teachers. I'm talking to choir members. I'm talking to singers, praise leaders, minstrels, psalmists. I'm talking even to the janitors and the doorkeepers, the ushers. I'm talking to any and everybody that is involved in this, quote unquote, the church, the body of Christ, those that are involved in the kingdom, in the earth realm. I'm talking to you tonight, and I want you to understand the battle, first of all, that you're in, the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. Now, you just happen to be uniquely, seemingly sandwiched in the battle, but the battle is the Lord's. And now the Bible says, the word of God says, that the victory is yours, though. It's God's battle. Now, you're in the arena. You're in the very arena of where the activity and where the action is. And sometimes, you know, where the action is, it can get fiery. You might be in a fiery trial. But you got to remember, if it's a fiery trial, you know, God, the Bible says, is a consuming fire. You're right in the thick of what God is and what he can do. The three Hebrew boys, even when the ungodly, unrighteous king threw them in the furnace, he had no revelation. He, for whatever reason, did not know the word. He was not aware that God had already declared himself to be a consuming fire. If he had had knowledge enough, he'd read in the scripture where God already had declared himself as a flame of fire. And we find that, you know, in the scripture, in the word of God. Now, it's important for you and I to be aware. See, we need to know the word of God for ourselves. You know, it's one thing when ungodly people, they don't know the word. It's another thing where we don't know the word. The Bible, remember, God gave us the Bible, you know, and it's a part of our heritage. It's crucial for us to be able to appropriate, you know, what the Word says. And it's crucial for us to be able to access the truth so that we can function and operate in the very glory that God has given to us. You know, I think many times, you know, as much as we might say that we have this problem or that problem, you know, but many times it's that we really just don't know the Word like we should. You know, we don't know the fullness of what God has already said. And because of it, you know, we don't see the Word of God prevailing. We don't get a chance to, you know, benefit from the fullness of what the Word says. You know, I need for you to turn with us, praise God, over to, you know, the Word of God. Turn over here to, praise God, Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter. I want you to see something. And many times, you know, again, the battle that you have now, that you are in right now, it is subject to the Word of God, the fourth chapter of Deuteronomy. I want you to take a look at something. You know, a lot of times, you know, again, we might say this and might say that, but the truth is, you know, what does the Word say? And as I noted earlier, you know, when the ungodly king, he's godly. When the ungodly king in Babylon, when he threw the Hebrew boys in, you know, in the fire, you know, it was crucial for everybody to be aware. And I would love to say and suggest that the three Hebrew boys, they knew something maybe that the king, you know, didn't know. Look at what it tells us. Now, this is in Deuteronomy. Look at verse 24. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. Now, here, if the ungodly king of Babylon, maybe if he had known this, maybe he would have put them somewhere else instead of in a fiery furnace. But he didn't know that God had already revealed himself to his people. And he has said that, you know, God is a consuming fire. You know, a lot of times the devil will think that he has us trapped. And he will actually put us right in the element that will be our salvation and our deliverance. Tonight we want you to see that the Word of God has been given to you so that you can prevail. I want you to see the prevailing nature and the prevailing essence of the Word of God tonight. I want you to be aware that there's no place that you can go. There's nothing that you can, no bad hand that you can be dealt. There's no place that you can find yourself that the Word of God cannot touch you. I want you to understand something. The Bible tells us that so mightily grew the Word of God and prevailed. You got to understand something. First of all, you got to think like God. If you are, and you maybe heard me say this before, but if you are elevating your problem over the promises, no wonder you can't sleep at night. No wonder the cancer continues to grow. No wonder the economic situation, you know, just is totally overwhelming and out of hand. You're going to have to see yourself not only on the Word, but you got to see yourself in the Word. You got to see yourself totally covered, consumed by the Word. You have to allow the fire of God's nature, the fire of God's character, the fire of God's personality You got to allow the very essence of the glory of God to consume you. You got to see yourself totally saturated in the Word. You got to see yourself change and alter. Your thought patterns have to be Word, 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 the Word of God. You have to be totally overwhelmed by the Word. Now, I'm talking about the words of God, the Word of God. Now, if you're overwhelmed by the news media, by local stuff that, you know, and I realize a lot of the stuff, you know, that's news and newsworthy, even local stuff, you know, has significance. And please don't think that I'm not aware that we need to be significant in our day. However, we need to be significantly infused in the Word of God. For that scripture there in Acts 19, verse 20, to have significance, that means the Word of God has to increase. The Word of God has to expand. It has to grow. You know, you just can't. And please don't misunderstand. I'm not just talking about knowledge necessarily. I'm talking about intimate knowledge of the Word. I'm talking about a relationship with the Word of God. It says, listen to what the Amplified says about the 20th verse in the 19th chapter of Acts. It says, thus the word of the Lord concerning, now listen to this, concerning the attainment through Christ of eternal salvation. Now remember, when you see the word salvation, you got to transliterate that, and you got to see not only salvation, but you got to see deliverance, prosperity, success, wealth, increase and multiplication. You got to see advance. You got to see all of that in this word salvation. I'm going to read that and start again. Thus, the word of the Lord concerning the attainment through Christ of eternal, again, salvation, deliverance, advancement, abundance, wealth, healing, promotion, success in the kingdom of God grew and spread and intensified, prevailing mightily. Do you, my brother, do you, my sister, do you have any intensity about you? You know, and that's a little test that maybe you can give yourself. Are you intense in your Christianity? I mean, are you really fueled by this? Are you a flame of fire? Are you intense? Last week in our study of the Word in our Jesus encounter, praise God, that's every Wednesday at 6 o'clock, praise God, 235 West 40th Avenue. I encouraged the brethren there, according to what it tells us in Jude, the third verse of that wonderful epistle. Now, mind you, the third verse, and I'm reading from the Amplified, it said, beloved, my whole concern was to write to you in regard to your common salvation. Now, remember, when we say salvation, we're not just talking about going to heaven when you die. Because, you know, we got too many believers. That's all that they're intense about. That's the thing that they really, really more relate to than any. And I'm not suggesting that there is not any significance. Oh, yes, absolutely. But if you have not left here yet, then that means there's some other things that you need to be intense about your salvation. The word soteria, which is the Greek word for salvation, it includes, if you look up that word, it includes deliverance. It includes prosperity, success, wellness, wholeness. It includes increase, multiplication. It includes advancement. I mean, it's all wrapped up in this word, soteria. And here it says, beloved, my whole concern was to write to you in regard to our common soteria, but I found it necessary and was impelled to write you and urgently appeal to and exhort you to contend for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints, the faith which is the sum of Christian belief which was delivered verbally to the holy people of God. So this Christian belief which was delivered verbally to the holy people of God. See, that's how you got saved. There was a verbal release, a verbal expression of the love of God in the form of the gospel being communicated to you, and therefore by the power of the Holy Spirit, you received the salvation message, and you got born again. You became a child of God. You became an heir of salvation, a son or a daughter of glory. Now here, Jude says that we need to contend for the faith. We need to contend for the things of God. We need to contend for the things that are associated and that are connected with our salvation. If the word of God is going to prevail, that means we need to be what? Contending. Now that word contend means that there is a struggle, that you're in a conflict, a contest, that there is a real serious wrestling match. You know, the scripture tells us in Ephesians that we're to wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, against rulers of the dark, against spiritual wickedness, against wickedness and evil in high place. There's a spiritual warfare, there's a contending, there's a wrestling match. This is ground level warfare where you and I are going to contend for the faith. Recently, I told someone when I was in the ninth grade here in the city, I was on the wrestling team, and I was doing it for many reasons. It was one way to stay in shape, praise God. But I was a little fellow in the ninth grade. I only weighed about 105 pounds, praise God. And so wrestling is one of the toughest sports of the years. You can be totally exhausted in less probably than 10, 15 seconds. And yet the word of God says, Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he tells us that we wrestle not. So we're in a wrestling match. And it to be a good wrestler, you have to be in good shape. And it requires a great deal of running. Now, mind you, when you think about wrestling, and one of the things you may not think that to get prepared for a wrestling match that you got to do a lot of running. But that's where you find and discover your ability to endure, especially when you're on the wrestling match. I mean, each normally speaking, you got about three wrestling periods, and each of those three periods are only 3 minutes apiece, but it's amazing how long 3 minutes can be. And some of you, you know, you're out of gas because you're not ready to deal with this this wrestling match, which requires that you train as a marathon runner. In order for you to be a good wrestler, you really train as a cross-country runner. You train, I mean, that's the essence of your training, so that you can have the endurance and the physical capacity to be able to withstand in this contest. You gotta, for those few moments that you're on the wrestling match, those 3 minutes per period, you know, for those moments that you're down there with your opponent, it's almost like forever. And the time really goes slow because you got this person right next to you that is trying to pin you, that is trying to floor you and put you on your back or put you in some kind of a hold that you would say, I give. And see, that's the devil. He's trying to do that. He's trying to come against you mentally and emotionally or physically. And he's trying to wear you out. He's trying to get you so exhausted that you said, I give, I'm tired, I just can't go on. So you need a revival. You need to be revived. You need to go and plug in to Christ Jesus the Lord. You need to go and spend some quality time with the King of Glory. You need to go and get in the fire. You need to allow God to breathe upon you, to set you afire, to cause you to become a flame of fire again. Now you know what that is, and I want you to, right now, I want you to think about that. I want you to think like God. The Bible says that our God is a consuming fire. And it said that back in Deuteronomy. If the ungodly king in Babylon, if he had known that, if he had, you know, somebody told him, man, you can't throw them in the fire. That God is the consuming fire. Maybe he would have thought differently. When the three Hebrew boys found themselves in the fire, whether they had revelation that God had already communicated that to his people, that he was a consuming fire or not, they already had made a decision. They already had made a commitment that if the king was going to put them in the fire, they were willing to go. And my God, praise God, when they got there in the fire, Jesus revealed himself. The Bible says when they looked in the fiery furnace, that they saw one that looked like the Son of God. And the Bible says that they walked out of the fire. My brother, my sister, you're going to walk out of this. You're going to walk out of this like those three Hebrew boys. You're going to walk out of this and you won't be, that you, not one part of your body, your flesh, is going to suffer any corruption. You're not even going to smell like smoke. People are even going to question whether you were really in some type of contest. They're going to question when they look at you and see you, when they hear you, they're going to think you're lying about the fiery trial that you've been in. But if you just tell them that somebody is with you, somebody was with you during this campaign, that the Lord himself has revealed himself as the King of Glory, the Lord of Glory. If you're willing to think like God again, my brother, think like God again, my sister, allow God's thoughts to become your thoughts. Allow God's ways to become your ways. Now, it requires the commitment and a willingness that you would yield yourself to God. I want you to go over here. We're almost done. Praise God. We're getting there. Look over here in Acts 20, verse 30. Praise God. Acts 20, verse 32. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Look what it says here. Glory to God. Remember now, I want you to remember now the scripture that we want to highlight tonight as a point of reference here in Isaiah 55, verse 11. But in Acts 20, praise God, and verse 32, glory to God, such a powerful word, such a word that brings deliverance. And I want you to see this, praise God, hear this, glory to God. It says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God. And that's what I'm commending you to God, my brother. Tonight I'm commending you to God, my sister, Father. Right now, those under the sound of my voice, I'm commending them to you tonight. Father, I pray that you would meet face to face with them tonight, that you would meet face to face with those under the sound of my voice, that you would cause your glory. Lord, I speak even to the very essence and to the elements and to the situation and circumstance that my brother, that my sister is dealing with tonight. And I command that those situations and circumstances that my brother and my sister are dealing with, I command that those situations and circumstances hear my voice tonight. I speak even to the illnesses, sicknesses, and diseases. I command that you hear my voice tonight. I decree that there is a voice in my voice tonight, and I release the voice of God that's in my voice tonight to you, situation, to you, circumstance, to you, diseases, to you, problems, in Christ Jesus' name. Hear my voice tonight. I release the power of God even upon those ungodly situations and circumstances, even upon those diseases and illnesses in Christ Jesus' name. And I command you to dissipate. I command you to dematerialize, be destroyed now in Christ Jesus' name. Look what it says here. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. I command grace upon you, my brother. I command grace upon you, my sister. Right? I decree the grace of God, the goodness of God all over you now. I call for the power of God. I command the power of heaven to be activated, released, and manifested in your situation now in Christ Jesus' name. It says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able. Now, please, you got to understand, the word of God is able. The word of God, and the word able there, it is associated with the word, the Greek word, endunamos, or dunamis, or dynamite power. Do you realize the word of God has explosive, life-changing, situation-changing power? This word able means dunamis, endunamis. It means dynamite. It says, which is powerful. It is energized by God. The word of his grace. I'm declaring the word of God's grace over you now, my brother, in you now, my brother. And I release the power of God's word into your situation and circumstance. Jesus, in the 6th chapter of John, he said that the words that he spoke were spirit and they were life. So spiritual life is in the word of God. I release spiritual life. I release resurrection life. I release resurrection power. I decree resurrection power all over you, inside of you, my brother. I release it to that legal situation, that financial struggle. I command the power of heaven to be released now, bringing change. Look what it says. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. I release right now you, my brother. I decree you built up right now, being built up by God. I decree you advancing, increasing, and multiplying. It says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Dear brother, this is, I don't know if you are aware of it, but you have been set apart by God to advance, to abound, to increase, to multiply. God has set you in the earth as one sanctified to be prosperous and for you to be in health even as your soul prospers. God has commanded his love upon you. I don't know if you're aware of it, but, you know, God made sure that he has brought the new covenant into place so that he could bless you. I don't know if you're aware of it, my brother, but God said in the 36th and the 37th chapter of Ezekiel, he said that the reason why he brought the covenant into being, he said he did it for his sake. I don't know if you're aware of it, of the blessedness that even David found, the blessing that Abraham found, the blessing that even Paul found. The 4th chapter of Romans tells us of the blessedness that these men of God found. And the blessedness is that God wants to treat you, my brother, like you have never sinned. Now, if you can just allow that to sink in tonight. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. God wants you to experience the fullness of the inheritance among those which are sanctified. That's why he has commanded the word of his grace upon you, to enable you, to empower you, so that you can be built up in Christ Jesus the Lord, so that you can reap the benefits of the harvest, so that you can walk in your inheritance, so that you can have confidence to appropriate the grace of God And the reason why, because God Almighty has set you in the earth to be a blessing. Now, that means now you got to see yourself loved of God. I don't know if you're aware of it, but God loves you just as much as he loves Jesus. God loves you just as much. And if you can see yourself loved on by God just as much as you think God loves Jesus, it will change your perspective. It will change your attitude. It will change even your health. Now, remember, God, he's the one that established the new covenant. You got to understand that. You got to be aware of that, and you got to have confidence to see it. Now, listen to what the Amplified, we're almost there. Listen to what the Amplified says there in Acts 20, verse 32. Praise God. Listen, and now, brethren, I commit you to God. Now, listen to what the Amplified translators say. I commit you to God. I deposit you in his charge, entrusting you to his protection and care. And tonight, that is my desire for you. That is what my desire for you, my brother, my sister. Everyone under the sound of my voice, I commit you to God, and I deposit you in God's charge, entrusting you to his protection and his care. Listen what else it says in Amplified. And I commend you to the word of his grace, to the commands and counsels and promises of his unmerited favor. You know, God has favored you. You haven't been so smart. You haven't been so wise. You haven't been so slick. You haven't been so strong. No, God has favored you, my brother. You are walking in the fog, the F-O-G. Now, if you are an F-O-G, a friend of God, you have the privilege of walking in the F-O-G, the fog of God. Now, God, he wants you to walk in the fog. Yeah, that's right. You're supposed to be walking in the fog, my brother. You're supposed to be walking in the fog, my sister. You know, you need to come to the place where you can decree and declare that you are totally, truly blessed and highly favored with great, great grace and divine intervention in your life, that you ought to declare that you are a king's kid, that you are a royal priest after the order of Melchizedek, and that you are walking in the fog as a fog. You want to declare that you're walking in the fog as a fog, that you're walking in the favor of God as a friend of God. In the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus said, you are my friends. If you do what I tell you to do, if you obey my commandments, he said, I chose you to be my friends. So you are, as a believer, as a child of God, you are a F-O-G. And I decree that you're walking in the F-O-G, that you're walking in the fog of God. Now, it's crucial for you to walk in the fog, my brother. It's crucial for you to walk in the fog, my sister. Why? Because of what the Word of God tells us. Look what it says again. I'm reading from Amplified. And now, brethren, I commit you to God. I deposit you in his charge, entrusting you to his protection and care. And I commend you to the word of his grace, to the commands and the counsels and promises of his unmerited favor. It, speaking of the favor of God, is able to build you up and to give you your rightful inheritance among all God's self-appointed ones, those consecrated, purified, and transformed of soul. Are you transformed of soul, my brother? Are you transformed of soul, my sister? Remember, you need to think like God does. You need to have ways like God. You need to think like him. He says that you are his friend. He said that you are entitled to rightfully an inheritance. God says that he is your deliverer. God says that he is your healer.
God says that he is your source, not your job. You know, not the money you got in the bank in your IRA or your Roth account or, praise God, you may have even a 401k. Well, okay, praise God, hallelujah. You may have $100,000 in the bank. You may have, so what if you got that? I'm going to tell you, there's some things that could happen to you where that doesn't mean anything. And I'm not suggesting anything other than that. God needs to be your source. God needs to be your source. You need to be walking in the fog. You need to be walking in the strength of God, the favor of God. You need to be at rest. Now, we're almost there. We're getting close. I want you to understand something by the word of God. Listen to what it tells us in the 11th verse of the 55th chapter of Isaiah. It says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. I'm reading from the Amplified. It shall not return to me void. Now, the word void there, it says, without producing any effect or useless. But it shall accomplish that which I please and purpose, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Now, there the Lord tells us, the word of God tells us, that God's word will not return to him void. Now, this word void here is significant because, unfortunately, some of us have been so in the battle and you've been in this wrestling match that you're out of gas. You're totally windless. You don't have any inspiration. You know, the Bible tells us when you study it out that the word spirit is also interpreted or translated as breath. And one reason why many of us are exhausted, out of breath, we don't have any juice or gas, and it doesn't seem like we can go on is because we have not allowed God to breathe upon us. We have not allowed God to release his breath upon us. I release the breath of God upon you tonight. I release the breath of God upon you, all of you under the sound of my voice. I breathe upon you the breath of God. I loose the powers of heaven upon you. I decree the wind of God blowing upon you so that you would have breath, my brothers, so that you would have breath, my sister. I breathe upon you. I release prophetically the breath of God. Some of you are going to receive, some of you are going to feel the wind of God blowing. That's the supernatural manifestation of the breath of God. Mind you, that means that you have the capacity, that you have the dynamite power, that you are empowered by God to deal with the situations and circumstances that you're faced with, which means also that you have the capacity now to allow the word of God to prevail. That's an inheritance that God wants you to enjoy. There are divine, supernatural, heavenly privileges that now are yours so that you can advance, so that you can see the word of God to prevail. I want you tonight to think like God. You say, well, I don't know. Well, get in his word. Jesus said that if you abide in me and my words abide in you, are you abiding in the word? Are you allowing the word of God to have its place inside of you? Are you yielded to the words of God? Are you allowing the word of God to wash you? If you allow the word of God to irrigate you, are you standing under it as a shower? And you're totally, that's why you just have to shut yourself off sometime and open up your Bible. You know, open up the word of God. Put the word of God on, if you have it on MP3 or a cassette, or if you got it, where you can listen to it on your television, your DVD player. You need to do that. This is the time to do it. You can't wait to do it later. You need to do it now. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, Are you allowing the Word of God to be effectively on you? Are you yielded to the point that you know that the Word of God can significantly have a place in you? Now, it's up to you to do that. It's up to you to yield to the significance. Now, this is what the Amplified Version says in John, the 15th chapter, verse 7. It says, if you live in me, abide vitally, united to me, and my words remain in you and continue to live. Are you allowing the Word of God to continue to live in you? It says, and my words remain in you and continue to live in your hearts. Are you allowing the Word of God to live in your heart? Then he says, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. There it tells us, if you live in me, are you allowing yourself to live in Jesus? Are you more caught up in what's on television? Are you more caught up in the problem and the difficulty? Do you have more confidence in the problem and the difficulty, the diagnosis? Are you more caught up and have more confidence in the economic situation that seems to be that you're dealing with, where lack seems to be the norm? Jesus tells us, he said, if you live in me, abide vitally, united to me. He said, and my words remain in you and continue to live in your hearts. Are you allowing the Word of God to live in your heart? Are you able to allow your spirit to rejoice in the Word of God daily? Is there an intimate relationship that you and the Holy Spirit have established with the Word of God? Or are you totally convinced that the Word of God is significant, that it's not void? Remember now, in Isaiah 55, verse 11, it says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. He says, so shall my. Now, mind you, that is an affirmative a statement there. You know, God right there is trying to tell us something, that the Word of God should be, there should be a certain aspect, a certain reality, you know, about the Word. Our expectation should be such that we trust the Word of God more than we trust the word of a close earthly friend, more than we trust even the words of our doctors, our personal physicians, our attorneys, more than we trust the words of any trusted, significant person. Many of us trust the newspaper more than we trust the Word of God. And, you know, there's a problem in that. And one reason why is because our thoughts are purely ours, and we have not yielded our thoughts to the Lord. And because of it, we suffer. No, we want the Word of God to increase mightily. We want the Word of God to significantly dwell in our hearts all the time, to the point that God's thoughts are our thoughts, and that his ways, his character, his nature, his behavior becomes ours. We need to love what God loves. We need to hate what God hates. It needs to be such a relationship, such a bonded, engaging relationship where our hearts are God's heart, where what God thinks we think. Many of you have experienced some of this even with your spouses, those of you that are married. And there are times when, you know, you think something, and when you get with your spouse, you find they were thinking the same thing. That's because of the close, intimate relationship that you have together. Well, we need to be like that with Jesus. We need to be like that with the Lord, because that is his desire. He says, what? It says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It, speaking of the Word of God, shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper the thing whereto I sent it. In conclusion tonight, turn over your praise God to Hebrews, the first chapter. Oh, we want to conclude with this.
And the reason why, because I believe of the significance of this, if we're going to allow the Word of God to prevail, then it has to be because, again, of the close relationship that we have with the Word of God in line with our expectation. If we are going to be walking in the FOG, as an FOG, walking in the favor of God as a friend of God, there needs to be no question about how we're going to make it. Look at the third verse of Hebrews, the first chapter. It says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, speaking of Jesus. Now listen to this. And upholding all things by the word of his power. Isaiah said it this way, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. He said that my words, God says, my words shall not return unto me void or empty. They will not return to me without accomplishing what I please and prospering in the thing whereto I sent it. God says we need to have come. Why? Because here, you got to understand, everything is being upheld by the word of God's power. That includes you, my brother. And if you have made a commitment to trust God's word, that means you made a commitment to trust the very power of God's word. Look what it says in the King James Version. And upholding all things by the word of his power. You placing your trust, you being committed, you abiding and living in the word. You allowing the word of God to live in your heart. You committing yourself to the word and placing it all on the word. It just means that you now are standing, positioned yourself on the very essence of what everything that you can see, the whole universe, is totally upheld by the word of God's power. Again, we rush into our conclusion. I want you to listen to what the Amplified says. He, speaking of Jesus, is the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being, the illuminating one, the outraying or radiance of the divine. Radiation comes out of who God is. That's why he's a consuming fire. And he is the perfect imprint, talking about Jesus, and the very image of God's nature. Now listen to this. Upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling the universe. And that includes you, my brother. That includes you, my sister. God is upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling you into your destiny, into your assignment. If you just get on and rest upon the word of God. Remember, the word of God is mightily increasing, advancing, upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling and prevailing the universe. You. See, you are part of this whole thing, a part of God's creation. It says, and propelling the universe by his mighty power, by his mighty word of power. It's about the word. My brother, my sister, how have you positioned yourself? Have you positioned yourself on the world system? Is that why you think like you think? That's why you have more confidence in the world? Or have you positioned yourself in his word? If you have, then that means you have prepared yourself to see the word of God prevail. You're going to see the word of God upholding you, maintaining you, guiding
and propelling you. You are going to prevail. So mightily grew the word of God and prevail. See, the word of God is not going to return. If you get on the word of God, that means the word of God is going to accomplish that which you it pleases and its purpose to do and prosper in the thing whereto God sent it. Why don't you let the word do it? Why don't you let the word of God do its work? Why don't you position yourself in a place of success? Let us pray. Father, I thank you right now for my brother. I thank you right now for my sister, everyone under the sound of my voice. And Lord, even as it's been a wrestling match where it appears that the enemy is about to pin us, Lord God, we resist the enemy right now. We dismantle and crush and smash the devices of the enemy in the name of Jesus. And Father, we do a reversal right now. Glory to God. We reverse the curse right now. We break the power of hell right now in my brother's life and my sister's life. We dismantle and we cancel every assignment in Christ Jesus' name. We, Father, in the name of Jesus, we crush and smash every affrontment, every assignment. We dismantle every demon, every power of darkness. In the name of Jesus, as a magistrate of heaven, we take authority over every spirit that's not of God. And in Jesus' name, Father, we pray that you would dispatch and send forth afresh thousands and thousands of giant warrior angels, angels at least 20 feet tall and 10 feet wide, with flaming swords of fire, with flaming hands and fists. Lord, dispatch them, send them forth, deploy them now. I implore them by faith on behalf of those under the sound of my voice to be released and to go forth mightily and reveal the kingdom. Bear witness of you, Christ Jesus. Lord, by your spirit be released. Lord, cause the glory of God to be manifested. Father, we pray, God, that the kingdom of God would advance right now, prevail. Lord, cause the kingdom to be, Lord, manifested. And cause the kingdom of God to be propelled further in the lives of those under the sound of my voice. And Father, for the sake of those that are listening that don't know you in the part of their sins, Father, right now I touch and agree with them, my brother, my sister. Right now, even as you've heard the word of God tonight, please understand that Jesus, of course, he came to the earth as the Lamb of God. The Bible tells us that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Dear brother, dear sister, God wants you to be a part of the family of God. You need him as your father. He needs to be your father. Jesus is the agent of salvation. The Bible tells us that Jesus came to the earth to win the lost. And the Bible tells us that his death on the cross at Calvary was the payment for humanity's sin. And the Bible tells us that Jesus, not only did he pay the price for the sins of the world, and he became our sacrificial lamb, he became the price of our redemption. The Bible tells us that if we receive him as Lord, that salvation is ours. The Bible says that if we confess Jesus as Lord, if we confess Jesus as Savior, especially as is talked about in Romans, the 10th chapter, there it tells us that if we were to confess Jesus with our mouths, and that we would even decree and declare that we believe in his death, burial, and resurrection, that salvation is ours. It says, the word of God is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which you heard tonight, that if we shall confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus and shall believe in our hearts that God has raised him, Jesus, from the dead, that thou shalt be saved. So I want you to pray with me tonight. If you don't know Jesus and a part of your sin, just repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I believe the word of God. I believe that Jesus came. Repeat after me. That Jesus came to the earth, even to pay the price for my sins. That on the cross at Calvary, that Jesus died for me. Father, I believe that. And the Bible says that you, Father, raised him from the dead. I believe that, Lord. And I receive Jesus as my Savior and Lord now. Jesus, come into my life. Come into my heart. Receive me now, O God. I receive you, Jesus, as my Savior and Lord now. I believe that you, Father, raised him from the dead. And according to the Bible, I'm saved. Father, I pray that the powers of heaven would fall upon those that just prayed that prayer, that receive you, Jesus, as Savior and Lord. I pray that the power of the Holy Ghost would fall upon them now in Christ Jesus' name. I break the powers of hell. I loose everyone under the sound of my voice, Lord God, from all oppression. And Father, we thank you, Father, for our brothers and sisters, even for those that have just prayed and that have received you, Jesus, as Savior and Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for being so faithful. I pray, God, that you would cause, Lord God, everyone under the sound of my voice to prevail. Cause them to see the manifestations of the kingdom. Lord, release your glory into their midst. We, Father, seal this prayer. We seal those under the sound of my voice in the very blood of the Lamb, Christ Jesus. And, Father, we trust, God, that the powers of heaven are released. Holy Spirit, be released. Lord, we decree, Lord God, you glorified in this. Jesus, be magnified, be glorified in this. Even we pray. And Lord, as we conclude tonight, this blog talk radio broadcast, Father, meet face to face with those under the sound of my voice. Lord, reveal yourself as the omnipotent God. Lord, cause the angels of God to be released. Cause the glory of God to fall in their midst. Lord, change their finances. Change their health as they know it. Lord, reveal yourself as the faithful Lord of glory. Lord, I close this broadcast tonight, Lord God, with expectation that you are God Almighty and that you're revealing yourself as the omnipotent one. Glorify your name. Magnify your name in it. In Jesus' name, we pray. Hallelujah. Well, praise God again for you, my brother, my sister, tonight, and you being with us. We're going to sign off now. Again, we praise God for kingdom builders, kingdom daughters. We praise God for prophetess Teresa and her husband, Quentin, and all of the partners and those that are part of Kingdom Builders. We praise God for all of you tonight. We pray that God would release you into your destiny and into the advancement that he scheduled for your life. Again, this is Apostle Leonard T. Emmons Sr. We so appreciate the opportunity to share with you tonight. We trust that you're blessed because of it. God bless you. Good night. Hallelujah.